I think I will share a warning with you that we received through Tracy Lavelle on the 9th of this month, actually through the 11th. We've carried on a email conversation back and forth. So I kind of threw these together to give us an idea here of what the warning's all about. Tracy said, my daughter had a dream that three of us were on our back porch at night. Me, my daughter, and my son. We were looking at the stars. There were so many stars in the sky, and my daughter had her camera and decided to take a picture of them. All of a sudden, a map about the size of an iPad appeared, floating in the middle of us. And we were looking at it. I pointed to the map that was showing the left northern portion of America. Then I said, Cascadia. We talked about what would happen, but she doesn't remember what was said. Then my daughter saw a map that waves were coming in quick succession. Then she heard or somehow knew this Thursday, which is, of course, November the 12th, 2015. And when she had told me this, we were going to ask for a confirmation letter with all of us included. But I had to go help my husband. So after I left to go outside, she was watching Back to the Future 2. And in the movie, Doc and Marty were going back to, November the 12th, 1985. Then she switched channels and saw the Reba show. I don't know what that is. And in it, Barbara Jean said, we should do this every Thursday night. And I thought, what? Have an earthquake drill? No. Anyway, then a few minutes later, she was playing a game on her iPad, and it said she had 11/12 correct, or 11 out of 12 correct. 11/12. Then she saw 4:44 p.m. Trouble. She saw and heard all of the things before 4:35 p.m. on 11/7/15. Then she gives a bunch of helpful information about what the Cascadia fault is. It includes parts of Canada, Washington, Oregon, and Northern California. And then this is the next email. She said, I tried to send this earlier, but it didn't send. I'm not sure why, what that means. Not long after I received your email, my two daughters and I were on an iPad on the FaceTime with my just-turning-three today grandson. As we were doing that, I looked at the clock, and it was 2:47. And what came to her was Matthew 24:7. Which says, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and earthquakes in diverse places. Okay. Well, after that, I had to drive my daughter to the high school, and my mileage was 24:07. So there's that 24:07 again. I told my daughter those things, and she told me that she had seen on her computer today scheduled maintenance. And earlier she had seen 1 Corinthians 11:12. There it is again, the date of Thursday. So as I am writing this to you sitting in my car, the You Raise Me Up song came on. That's an interesting song. It says, you raise me up to walk on stormy seas. And you raise me up so I can stand on mountains. That's an awesome message, isn't it? You know, the Lord is going to spare some people from these things so they can stand on mountains, right? Praise God. Standing on mountains would be a good thing when a tsunami comes from the Cascadia subduction zone. That'd be a good thing to do. And the Lord can make you stand on stormy seas too if He wants to, can't He? Praise God. Also, this morning, the daughter that had the dream was looking at the shelter dogs in the newspaper, and she told me that one was named Reba. Okay. And after she told me that, I saw the front cover of the newspaper magazine, and that showed the woman who played the mother in the original Back to the Future movie. I turned to the article, and there was a picture of the Back to the Future movie box cover. And today is 11/11. There's that number, 11/11. So, I asked for a word about it and got Hosea 13:10. My finger was on in all from this verse, that He may save you in all your cities. When my daughter first told me her dream, I had two thoughts, one about it being physical and the other about it being spiritual, wondering if this could be a personal thing that the Lord is working on with me, but I'm not positive at all. Yeah, well, maybe she knows something more than I know, but so far from what I can see, it doesn't seem to be that personal. But anyway, my thoughts are that I do hope that this is prayed down and ends up being nothing more than a drill from the Lord to get the Northwest ready for what is to soon come. But it will ultimately come. The Lord's never created a disaster zone He hasn't used or He won't use. The Cascadia subduction zone tsunamis will likely soon drown the West Coast for about 700 miles before many of the people can flee to high ground. After about 15 minutes from the beginning of the quake, a 100-foot-high wall of water can hit the coast. This is what the geologists say. And Shepard Smith reported on this for Fox News and advised people to leave the coast. And I'll put that link in here so when we post this, you can study it, whether it comes Thursday or not, right? Because unless God, in His mercy, gives a warning by smaller quakes or dreams and visions, which few believe in, many thousands could die. And this would be a major hit on the economy, too, with major port cities taken down. Because they say it will reach all the way to Interstate 5, which takes in major cities. And drilling down, they have found the geology shows that this happens on an average of 240 years. And we're now at 315 years. So it's kind of overdue, right? And this quake is predicted to be a 9.0 to a 9.2, which is a whopper. And, of course, older brick structures and maybe some high rises all over the coast will fail. Okay? Now, I've seen dreams like this before, and they're very convincing, but they came and went with no manifestation. But I also know for a fact that the saints pray these things down, just as God gives them opportunity to, and that's why He gives the warning. And they forbid them, according to Matthew 18:19 and Mark 11:24. we've been given authority in this earth. So, and especially when we're warned about them, we can do this. So what I do is ask for our confirmation if the Lord wants us to warn the people. And those who will listen, the Lord will be warned, but most will not. At any rate, it's the people of God that count the most, right? And Tim Conway said last night on the conference call, Michael shared the warning dream on the Cascadia fault, possibly going off on this Thursday, November the 12th. And he said, I typically do not ask for many words by random, but I picked up my Bible and asked by faith as to what the Lord had to say about this and received Mark 13 and 19. For those days shall be tribulation, such as there hath not been the like from the beginning of the creation which God created until now, and never shall be. It certainly would be for the Northwest, that's certainly true. And Tim went on to say, I'm not sure of the full meaning, but it may be a confirmation. Could be, yeah. So, as I was reading these confirmations, I looked down at my open Bible. I didn't have it on any particular page, and I wasn't studying any particular thing at the time. It was just open. And I looked down on the verse Ezekiel 3 and 18. When I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked of his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. And I'm not sure this is a confirmation of the date, but I am sure that this is coming soon, and considering this verse, I advise you to seek the Lord and be where He wants you. If there is a quake, you have about 15 minutes to get to high ground, because the Cascadia subduction zone is on an average, I think, 1 to 2 miles offshore. It's very close. And the last Cascadia quake, they have proven, that started on the northwest coast, hit Japan and the United States with a tsunami. The Japanese well educate their population about what to do in these circumstances, but this doesn't seem to be a very high priority for East Coast folks. So just be warned and pray, and if you get anything, well, let me know. Confirmations or coast is clear or whatever you get, you know. I know that we can't lose by warning, because obviously if it's God's will, enough people will come together and pray it down, or they'll be moved themselves out of the way anyway. So, you know, we have a promise. The world doesn't. We have a promise. We have a Passover lamb, and we have to hold fast to our Passover lamb in the times of great destruction, disasters. And as you know, the destroying angel will pass over us and take out the Egyptians. So we don't have promises for the world, but we do have promises for us. And we have to hold fast the confession of our hope that it waver not. I mean, if you get caught in a situation like, hey, I can't get out of town, there's a traffic jam, too many people in front of me. That's happened down here on the Gulf Coast, or down where I was on the Gulf Coast, excuse me. That's happened there with hurricanes. Everybody jumps on the interstate to head north, and it gets clogged up and shuts everybody down. They're just jammed up, can't get anywhere, and the hurricane passes right over them. So, I remember one time, actually, there was a hurricane headed right straight for us, and some of the brethren asked us, what are you going to do? I said, I'm not going to do nothing. I got a big angel standing in that front yard, and he ain't going to let nothing happen to this house. And so come find out later, some of them jumped on the interstate and took off north, and they got all traffic jammed, didn't get nowhere. Some of them got down off the interstate and weaved their way back home, and some of them were stuck there. That's been a problem down there for years, you know. So anyway, we do have a big angel next to every one of us that knows the Lord, and he can keep you from dashing your foot against a stone. Isn't that awesome? So he can certainly take care of hurricanes or earthquakes or anything else. He can translate you. He can do anything he wants to do with you. Just make sure you're believing and not double-minded or fearful. Fear is actually fear in the curse, right? Fear in the devil, right? It is it's faith in reverse. Faith in the devil, faith in the curse. But you're not under the curse. Galatians 3:13 says Jesus bore that curse for you, so you could have Abraham's blessings. Amen? So, keep on believing God, saints, because there's lots of stuff just like this. Once it starts, it's not going to stop. It's just going to keep on rolling in. Disaster after disaster, you know. Martial law, you know, taking out the Christians, bringing them into captivity, all kinds of things are coming, you know. And just remember, the Lord can save you from all of it. If you just, these judgments are to chasten people, to cause them to, I'm talking about God's people, to cause them to repent and return to Him and submit to the Scriptures. Make sure you're obeying the Scriptures through faith in Jesus Christ. If you're disobedient, that's the reason this has come before. These things have come before to so many of God's people, right? So, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for blessing us in Jesus' name. Amen. And I got another warning from Lakeisha Davis. She had a dream about a war that's coming. And I believe what the Lord is saying in this is He wants us to pray this down for now. He doesn't want this to come too early. And yet, the devil does want this. He's in a hurry, you know, he's in a hurry. It reminds me of a dream a brother of mine had about the Lord sitting on his throne, and the saints coming up to appear to him on his throne. And the devil's on his left hand with a cannon pointed at him, jumping up and down with a lighter stick, wanting to light that cannon and blow him away. And he was jumping up and down and all giddy, and the Lord's hand, left hand, was stretched out in front of him like, no, you don't. He just held his hand there. No, you don't. You know? It reminds me. Well, he's in a hurry to get rid of the Christians, you know. And this is one of those revelations where the Lord is saying, no, you don't. Not for now. It's coming, all right. But not now, you know. So anyway, I know that there is a war in the media, but this is talking about something worse, you know. So Lakeisha had this on October 31st, 2015. She said, in a dream, an assembly of people were gathered together in an auditorium to watch a performance. The seating was divided into two sections, with an aisle down the middle. As I was walking to a seat, an older man stopped me to greet me. I can't remember whether we shook hands or if he placed his hand on my shoulder. But when he did, he got excited and said something like, I felt an anointing. And immediately I thought of Christ in me. And I sat on the right side next to a pretty young woman. An announcer asked if anyone wanted to change their seats. Well, some people from both sides raised their hands. And I do believe that this is talking about the right and the left. Of course, Lakeisha sat on the right with the pretty young woman. Changing from right to left or vice versa, both will happen. It's going to happen. Some are going to fall away, and some are going to take their place. That's just the way it has been throughout history. And there was someone who knew God gave me a gift to sing and asked me to sing a song before the concert started. I was hesitant, but people began to chant softly, "Keisha, Keisha." I was going to sing, but just then another young woman on stage began to sing a worldly song. She had a guitar with a flame design on it. Well, what I see from this is it doesn't matter what the people want. The right will be usurped by the militant left. They own the media. They own the government. They rule the highest authorities in our government. We can expect these things. She said, then was another short part for my personal life. Then I was in the kitchen looking out the big window over the sink and saw clusters of stars constantly moving and forming rings and arrows around the rings. Okay. I guess the Lord is saying, watch the stars. Could this have something to do with Planet X? Well, you know, right now, there are people who have reportedly seen Planet X. I know Marshall Masters did a program on Planet X, and he used a program that tells you whether heat is actually coming from an object or whether it's just reflected from something else, like the sun. And he decided that this planet was on the far side of the sun and that the heat was coming from itself, which makes two suns. He was somewhat discouraged at what he saw coming this way. He could be right. Other people, too, have noticed this and taken pictures of it recently. I'm not saying there isn't an awful lot of garbage out there. There is. And I've looked at some of them and just, you know, threw them away immediately because it just didn't seem possible, or it was a sun dog or something like that. But anyway, the Lord is pointing out here to watch the heavens, watch the stars. And, of course, this is going to have profound effects on the earth. Not as much now as if and when Planet X comes around to our side of the sun, which they tell me takes about 150 days, which would put us around, what about that? Passover. Anyway, let me get back to the subject here. As I continued to watch this, I saw two huge rival spaceships coming into view from the right and the left. There it is again, that right and the left. The sheep and the goats, right? Well, not necessarily, but the right and the left anyway. You know, what we call the right today is just conservative, is not necessarily sheep, right? The one on the right was blue, which has been the color of the Republicans or the right wing. And I'll explain that in a minute. And looked like the Egyptian scarab beetle. Yeah. The right wing Egyptian great eagle of Ezekiel 17, which loses the war, is what I think this is. And this is a right-wing faction of the U.S. who, like Israel, went down to Egypt to defend themselves. Going down to Egypt is a saying which means going back under the old man, trusting in the arm of the flesh. When Israel was in Egypt, they served the fleshly man. By the way, the fleshly man was the one that was taken out by the death angel, right? And it was to, they went to Egypt to defend themselves from the Babylonish beast, but they lost the war, big time. I mean, Babylon conquered Egypt and them. Okay? And the one on the left was red, she said, although I can't remember its form. Well, that's the color of the Communist Democrats on the left wing. Now let me go to Wikipedia here and point out some things to you. Some things have changed here recently because of the media, because the left wing owns the media. Okay? Wikipedia says about political color, the color red symbolizes left-wing ideologies. Red flag, red army, red scare, they got in parentheses. Red is traditionally associated with socialism and communism. Black is primarily associated with anarchism. And I'm picking this from different parts in this article here. So, and fascism. Black. See black shirts, it says. And the Islamic State of Iraq and Levant, which, of course, our government is using to march throughout the Middle East to bring anarchy. When black is mixed with red, we have anarchists. We have the anarchist flag color, which is what the president's whole family wore. I think it was on inaugural day or at the inauguration or at the acceptance. I forget which, but I saw the picture of all of them, and all of them were in black and red. Nothing, no other colors. I thought, okay, this is where we're going. And blue, particularly dark blue, is usually associated with conservative parties, originating from its use by the Conservative Party in the United Kingdom. However, in the United States, since the year 2000, the mass media have associated blue with the Democratic Party. So they stole that color. The dominant center-left party. In 2010, the party unveiled a blue official logo. Okay, since the media is overwhelmingly left-wing, it is certain that they are trying to avoid the stigma of red by turning things upside down. Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? But the truth is, they're still the same old people and getting worse. And the truth is, neither side is on God's side. And Lakeisha said, I pointed at the scene and told a young girl, we need to pray against this. Well, there it is. We need to pray against this. Many Americans will die in this civil war. Let's pray against this division for now. Also, the Christians who are all considered right-wing will go into captivity and have no say in government from the time martial law is enacted. And I think that the Lord is saying, pray so there will be a little more time for freedom to get the gospel out and to let revival have a chance. Wouldn't you rather see revival than bloodshed? Bloodshed brings a lot of people to the Lord now. I'll give it that. But revival keeps more of them alive when they do come to the Lord. So, I choose revival. Father, give us revival. Send our Lord Jesus and lead the mightiest revival on the face of this earth it's ever been. That's what we pray. That's what we ask you for. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, put off this war, Lord. Put it off. And give us more time to see this revival, Lord. We're seeing we're seeing bits and pieces of it now, so we know it's going to get better and better. We praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Lakeisha said the scene changed, and the spaceships flew side by side into the ground of Antarctica, forming two large craters. This collision caused the land to break up and fall into the depths. I believe that this could mean that this war will cause division in the earth. It could also mean there will be no party system left but dictatorship. That they crash in an uninhabitable place shows the end of the two-party system, I think. Let me share with you something that Wikipedia says here. Antarctica, on average, is the coldest, driest, and windiest continent, and has the highest average elevation of all the continents. They say, by the way, if Antarctica melted, it would raise the water level 200 feet because it has the most fresh water in the world there. Antarctica is considered a desert with annual precipitation of only 200 millimeters, 8 inches, along the coast and far less inland. The temperature in Antarctica reached a minus 89 degrees centigrade, or a minus 129 degrees Fahrenheit. That's cold, man. That's just too cold. Antarctica is a de facto condominium, I said, governed by parties to the Antarctic Treaty System that have consulting status. Well, notice, Antarctica doesn't rule itself, which is because there's no population there. It doesn't rule itself, which is where the end of the two-party system crashes. Increasingly, the U.S. is being ruled by the U.N., much like Antarctica. As we have seen in Dreams and Visions, the Civil War will bring an invasion of the nations at the end of the tribulation, with Russia and China in the lead, to make war on and divide up the United States. Okay? Back to Lakeisha's dream here. I point that out just because I had to find out a reason for why Antarctica, you know? Well, that's what I think the reason is. There may be more, no doubt. As this was going on, the spaceships turned into identical T-Rexes. Identical. Only that one was red and one was blue. And that just tells me there will be little difference between the parties, especially as Christians depart from both. And this will happen. Saints, they will depart from both. And what you see here is the right and the left are both the dragon, which is what T-Rex was, the dragon. And they each had a male rider. The red T-Rex and its rider fell into the depths when the ground broke. And I believe that means the left wing went straight to hell, meaning it became totally corrupt. Okay? Well, I can't say they're very far from hell now. The scene went back to the house, and I was outside on the second story deck, and the sky was cloudy, and the moon did something weird that was not good. It was moving off its course and looked really big. Well, if it's coming close to Earth, it gets really big, you know. We had two dreams that it would be struck by an asteroid and possibly knocked off of its normal orbit, and in this case, closer to Earth. And in those dreams, the dust from this collision would enshroud the earth. It would come to earth. And Lakeisha said, I knew we had to pray about this, and if we didn't, a tsunami would come quickly. Well, why is that? Well, because, you know, the tides are formed by the moon. And it, as it gets closer, of course, it would be stronger, I guess. I'm not trying to prove myself to be anybody here. It just makes sense to me, okay? If it's too close to Earth, it could bring a tsunami. And perhaps this is saying to pray it stays on course. Okay? She said, I knew we had to pray about this. Okay, so obviously if those other dreams come to pass, it will be great devastation to the earth. And so I think the Lord is saying, okay, pray against this. So let's do that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do ask you to keep our moon on its course. Even if it is hit by an asteroid, and a piece of that in turn hits the earth to cause what we've heard is going to happen. Well, Lord, you are sovereign. You are wise. You know what would put fear back into man concerning who you are and what you're doing. We know that fear is the beginning of wisdom. And so we ask you, Lord, to give people wisdom. But at the same time, we ask, Lord, that you give time for revival to have a start in this earth. They won't be able to stop it, Lord. They won't be able to stop it. Praise be to God. Thank you, Father, for keeping this moon on course. Why is God giving us these things? I mean, I'm seeing two of them here that are obviously for the purpose of us praying things away. Well, because we believe we can pray things away. Most of the rest of the church doesn't believe in the power of prayer to heal a cold, much less these kind of things. But obvious that this is why the Lord is telling us, is so that we can pray them down. Why is all this coming to pass? I say because the body of Christ has gone far astray from God's commands in Scripture. And for this reason, God is doing what he has always done in history, and that's bring a beast to put us on our cross. And that's a cross of death to self. And in effect, it sanctifies his body of the Antichrist within. And during this time, the greatest revival will sweep the world as Christians become Christians, and many lost will see the light and come into the kingdom. And it will be the greatest time to be alive, and for many, the greatest time to die. And Jesus taught us to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. As in heaven, so on earth. Isn't that awesome? So, Father, we do pray for these things. We pray that none of them will come before they must come. And, Lord, we know that the biggest judgments are going to come after this world mistreats your people. And we don't want them to come ahead of that time. And, Father, we ask you in Jesus' name to be merciful to earth and send your revival. Send your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he was going to personally shepherd his flock in Ezekiel 34. And that's what we look forward to, Lord. Send him to personally manifest it in his man-child ministry as he did the first time, to bring revival, to bring healing and deliverance and salvation and provision to the people of God in a very merciful, gracious way, going far beyond what anybody deserved when Jesus did it 2,000 years ago, and now he's going to do it again. But this time it will come with much more judgment. It will be in the midst of much more judgment. And so, Father, we ask you to send our Lord Jesus and bring revival all over this planet, Lord. Send out your good news. Bring multitudes into the kingdom. And we just praise you, Lord. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Okay, brethren, and as usual, if any of you gets a revelation out there on either one of these subjects, you're welcome to send it in to our elders' address. And we appreciate it. We consider them. And there is times that we get overloaded with emails and don't really get to them all, you know. And we're sorry about that. But we do the best we can with what we got. I will say that, I don't know if everybody knows this, but we have a wonderful assortment of books finished and on the site for you to either read as text or buy. We don't make any money off of them, but they're being made available very cheaply, and they're being a blessing. So I pray you'll partake of those. And also, our many thanks to all the people that work on these and serve the people of God to get them out, edit them, you know, so on and so forth. As always, if you see any errors in them, it's easy to do. We found that out. Sovereign God was the most edited book in the whole wide world because little typos, things here and there, you know. We would find them afterwards and fix them up. But this is an easy way to fix them. This way we got it out there quickly, and it's easy to fix them. So you send us any corrections you see, and we'll take care of them. And we appreciate that. It's not like the automobile manufacturers, you know. They put out new cars, and they test them on you, and you get to, you're their testers, and you have to pay for all the problems. But anyway... Well, Father, in Jesus' name, God, we are looking forward to some awesome things. We are praising you for drawing us into your kingdom to manifest our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that Jesus stand up in us. Stand up in us. Lord, we are nothing without you, but we can do all things through you. Lord, we invite the Lord to come and manifest His gifts in us, manifest His fruit in us. We desire earnestly, Lord, to come into His image so that each and every one of us can touch this world for your kingdom. We ask you to draw us. We ask you to grant us repentance. We thank you for your chastenings, Lord. Lord, as you told us, to give thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we give thanks unto you, Lord, for your great mercy and for manifesting Jesus in us. And, Lord, they need to see you. The world has come to disregard Christianity, and they see it as a bunch of hypocrites, Lord, and sadly, there's a lot of truth in it. And but Lord, we want to change things, and we know that the way is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so we're very much looking forward to this great revival that comes, Lord. We know greater works are going to come forth than ever before. Things that people have never even thought about, they will see. I'm believing for one right now that I know is going to come to pass. And it's beyond what Jesus did then, but it's not beyond what Jesus will do now. You see, we're not talking about people doing greater works than Jesus. We're talking about Jesus in them doing greater works than Jesus did 2,000 years ago. Because he said he went to the Father so that the Holy Spirit could impart Him, spirit, soul, and body to us, so that He, through us, could do the greater works in these days. And it's not just because there's a lot more people doing it. It's greater works individually. And Lord, we praise You for the greater works revival that's on its way. We praise You and thank You. It is total mercy. This world, and especially Christianity, does not deserve it. And Lord, we know that You're going to come and offer this first to Your people. And that is awesome. And because, of course, we have a covenant, and we desire to see it fulfilled in all ways. But the problem is we haven't really been worthy of it, Lord. We've been rebellious. We've been going our own way. We've been making our own religions. We've been, you know, departing from the faith. And so we're asking You, Father, in Jesus' name, for the sake of those that look on, for the sake of those that want to see a Jesus, they want to see a Savior, a Deliverer. You know, Your Word talks about the desired one, Lord. Maybe they don't know it's Jesus, but it's the desired one. Lord, Your Word in Haggai, chapter 2 and 6 says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations." Literally, all nations are going to be shaken by these great earthquakes and things that are coming upon the world. "And the precious things," which should have been translated, "desire." "And the desire of all nations," "and the desired of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine." You think God can't take care of you? I guarantee you, we're going to find that out. He's going to take care of you. He's got it all. He's got all the riches. "The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." In this place, He's talking about the temple, but more importantly, He's talking about what the temple represents. It represents the temple of God. It represents the people of God who abide in Jesus Christ. And, of course, in Revelation, in His message to the churches, He talked about those that went in and went out. But then there's those that became a pillar in the temple, meaning they are stable in the temple of God. And so, there are lots that go in and go out. They abide in Christ. They abide in the world. They're back and forth. But I do believe the Lord is going to bring stability to His people in these days ahead, the very scary times that are coming, and also, you know, the great outpouring of His Spirit, whose job it is, Jesus said, to take of mine and declare it unto you. So, you know, the work of the Holy Spirit is to create Christ in us. And when He's given His way, that's what He does. You know, that's who dressed up the bride in the book of Esther. That's who it represented, the Holy Spirit. And to prepare us to walk righteously before Him, to be beautiful to Him by becoming obedient to His Word, the righteous acts of the saints, Revelation 19, this glowing garment that the bride has on, Revelation 19. So, Lord, this is what we want to see. We want to see it. And we know it's in your hand to do. We know that you have chosen these days to fulfill it, Lord. And these are the days of the greatest revival the world has ever seen. And also, the greatest shaking that the world has ever seen. Lord, you said you'd shake your hand over Egypt and your people would come trembling out of Egypt. And I believe, of course, that has a parable for us today, Lord. Your people will seek you as a place of refuge. And being refuged in you means holiness and righteousness. There is no other protection. And so, Father, we ask you in Jesus' name. You said righteousness delivers from death. And we thank you, Lord, for drawing us into Christ, showing us this shelter, giving us your gifts of faith, Lord, to make us confident in you, and giving us that bold faith to be evangelists for you in bringing this good news to the world. And Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. It's going to be done. It's going to be done. And we thank you that you're so merciful and gracious to us in choosing us out of the much larger population of this world to be yours. You said, wide is a road, and many that follow that wide road to death, but narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. And so, Lord, comparatively, Lord, you have a much smaller population that's going to follow you, but a very large group of people, all in the same. And Lord, we're just thanking you for them, thanking you that we'll all rejoice completely and perfectly in your kingdom one day soon. And thank you so much for your mercy for us, Lord. We just know you're going to rise up in us, Lord. You're going to rise up in us and be what we could never be without you. And we accept the sacrifice of Jesus. We accept the reconciliation. We know that this is exactly what you came to do. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's no longer we that live, but it's Christ that lives in us. And we know that that Jesus in us can do all these things and can walk in holiness and can walk in power, etc., etc. We're believing you, Lord. We're believing you. We're thanking you for this mighty miracle in this earth, Lord. Lord, you created all this, all of this, and you permitted it to go the route that it has gone for just one purpose, to create sons of God. And so, Lord, the whole creation is awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God in the hopes that the creation itself would be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We can't wait to see your finished product, Lord. We know that your field grows quite naturally. It doesn't have to struggle. It's what you put in it that counts. It's what you put in it that's going to bring forth the fruit. And so we thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. We thank you. We praise you.